It's the State of Gaming Podcast.
Hello, hello. Welcome back. It's the Pop Zara Podcast. That's right. It's the State of Gaming from your Pop Zara pals over at Pop Zara Press. That's a lot of P's. And if you have a P filter, we just drove it nutty. Welcome back, everybody. This is Nathan Evans, managing editor of that Pop Zara place I just popped about, talking about games, talking about the state of games for June 2023. And that means, that's right, there's a co-host. His name is Mr. Corey G-Man Gallagher. Corey, welcome back.
Hey, how's it going? It's great to be back. I got that summertime sadness.
Oh, yeah, well, you know, summertime, says Will Smith. Fresh Prince. Mm. That's right. You know, it's funny that, like, a lot of people just don't know who that is anymore. The actor who slapped the other guy? That's true.
Smack. What did the five fingers say to the face? Slap.
So, well, that'll get you canceled. I can't keep track of who's allowed to be funnier anymore, so let's just make it all happen. But look,
I'm a transgressor. I do what I do.
That is true. But you know what? Today's transgressor is tomorrow's conservative. So that's how it goes, says Mark Twain. But we are talking about games, Corey. We're talking about games in the middle of the month, and there's some pretty big heavy hitters that have already kind of broken charts. So no big surprises there, but we can still chat about them. The format goes, ladies and gentlemen, we talk about the biggest games for the month. We talk about what sold last month, and then we just sort of, I don't know what you call it, dustbin the rest. What else is going on? But for that, Corey, what are the biggest games for June 2023?
Well, June has actually been a pretty big month for games, and I'm going to start with the one that's probably been my favorite this month, and that is Street Fighter VI.
Really? You're not into Crash Team Racing?
Crash Team Bash or what? I don't know what it's called. But I like Street Fighter VI the most. It's a good game. That's it. It's a good game. Y'all should play it. Even if you don't like fighting games, there is a story mode. It is excellent. It makes you better at fighting games. Nate here ought to play it.
Okay. First of all, Corey is exaggerating. He's like, oh, it's my favorite game. Yeah. Okay. That's like talking to someone who says, I like Mountain Dew. And you go home and the whole apartment is full of Mountain Dew cans, posters. He's got a Mountain Dew tattoo. That's you, Corey, with Street Fighter VI. Can we just say that?
Hey, I do the Dew every day of my life.
By the way, you might have forgotten this, but I have not forgotten this. I have a mea culpa for you. Corey and I have sort of engaged each other for the last 6 months about Street Fighter VI, about we're going to play, we're going to do it, back and forth, you know, the whole razzle-dazzle that, you know, Ultimate Fighters always do.
Razzle-dazzle?
My mea culpa is, you whooped my butt. So I'll just say that.
Well, you know, I appreciate that. And I'll offer my own mea culpa. I should have gone easier.
I will say this, though. It wasn't 100%. I did beat you a few times.
That's true.
Whether that was because you were rambunctiously trying to practice on me and basically I was your test dummy. But you know what? A win's a win. So
yeah, the character Jamie is a drunken boxer, and at a certain point, he is able to poke the enemy in the eye and make them fall down, and it doesn't do any damage. And I think I locked you down for about 20 seconds with that move, and I love it. It was the best day of my life. You've given that to me, Nate.
I will say this, though. We did have a lot of fun, but you know, you are going to mention, we're going to mention another big game here in a couple seconds.
Another big game. We got a whole bunch of them. Yeah. We got to knock them out, actually. The next big one is Final Fantasy 16. And it's funny, when we were talking before we started the podcast, you mentioned that I have what is probably the most negative review of Final Fantasy 16 on the internet.
Yeah, and I was going to say, this actually ties into Street Fighter VI because both Street Fighter VI and Final Fantasy 16 have already sold millions. They're hugely acclaimed. This is a year that had Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, so this is already a year packed with big stuff.
Yeah, and people were asking me, hey, what do you think is going to be Game of the Year? I'm like, it's Tears of the Kingdom. Why are you even asking me this question, obviously?
Well, I will say this, though. Sometimes, though, in the world of video game reviews, this is a thing that happens. This always happens, always. When there is a gigantic, world-changing thing, there are people who become contrarian and look for other things to supplement the thing. This happens all the time. This happened with, well, most famously, Zelda Ocarina of Time and Metal Gear Solid. It's happened with Pulp Fiction and Forrest Gump movie, I know, but you know what I mean. And it's happening right now with Zelda and these other stuff. There have been so many super, uber, uber positive reviews for Final Fantasy 16 that I think do gloss over. The same people that chided Zelda for having frame rate issues did not chide Final Fantasy 16 for having frame rate issues. It's just, that's just the way it goes. We're getting to the nitty gritty. But what do you think? Your review is live. You can read it right now. But
yeah, you know, I don't want to get too far into it because the review is live, and you guys can just go and click on it.
It's a good review, by the way. Sweet metrics. It's very, very detailed.
I'm actually writing a more extensive one for the Pixels. We kind of have a format here on PopZara where I try to be a bit more concise because a lot of stuff comes in and we got to write it all. But the long and short of it is this is a game that is really good when it's really good, but most of the time it's not, and it's at best mediocre, at worst it's just a slog. You know, I play with my friend, and I'd see another side quest pop, and I'm like, I hate this game. And that's largely because this is kind of a spectacle-focused fighting game, action RPG, I guess is a better way to put it, where you're really concentrating on how good everything looks. But one, the game didn't run all that great. Even if it's on the PS5, the PS5 exclusive right now, you'd think it'd run wonderfully. It does not. Two, because the focus is all on how good the game looks and not really on its depth, there's just not much to it. You end up running around button-mashing the heck out of monsters during side quests, and that's the biggest portion of the game, and it's not that great. If you buy it, and maybe you want to, like Final Fantasy, play the main quest, and you'll have a great time. It's just a little side quest.
It is so funny, though, because, you know, we always mention our friends over at the Digital Foundry. They did a very gushing, like, little too gushing, like, perspective look at the game and talked about how great it runs and everything.
I definitely find myself hoping that the... Yeah. PC release, when it inevitably comes out, is going to be better, because, man, this game struggles a lot, and it struggles on weird stuff. When you're playing the main quest and going through a dungeon and fighting a big old boss, those usually run pretty well. When you're running around in town and going to the inn or buying items, then you have problems, and it doesn't really make a lot of sense as to why that could be the case.
Well, like I said, it's the rare PlayStation 5 exclusive, like you said, right now. It'll most likely come to the PC, maybe even something else. So we'll see how it goes. But until then, though, you did give it a yay.
I tend to give games yays unless they are just completely irredeemable, and this isn't. If you like Final Fantasy, you're probably going to want to play it, and I'm not going to say you shouldn't. Just keep your expectations a little bit measured, especially if you read a lot of the reviews of this game, because this is not a 10 out of 10. This is... if we were to do numerical scores, this is a 7 out of 10.
One quick question, though. People were poo-pooing some of the performance from the demo. You're saying that the performance issues of the demo continue into the retail
release? Yes, absolutely, no question.
Okay, that's what we need to know. So play the demo.
That's, you know, you feel like part of the reason you'd have a demo is to get this information out there to Square, and they can fix it, and they definitely didn't. Anyway, game's all right. If you like Final Fantasy, it's good. If you don't, or, you know, it's funny. Maybe if you don't like Final Fantasy, and this is one of your first ones, this might come off on you pretty well. You might like it better. I have a friend who is in that position. He loves it. He's been playing it nonstop. So if you're new to the series, it's not a bad place to start. But if you're expecting more traditional Final Fantasy, or really Final Fantasy done very well, maybe not the way to go. A game, though, that does take a beloved franchise and do pretty well by it is Diablo 4.
Yeah, another mega success.
You know, I'm sitting here with my Diablo 4 SteelSeries Aerox mouse. It's pretty cool looking. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Yeah, if you like what you heard, give us a like or subscribe.
Just saying, SteelSeries, you want to maybe kind of, you know, give us a Diablo 4, it exists. It changes the Diablo paradigm in some ways that are great, and leaves a lot of the stuff you like in place. Things you'll probably like is that when you beat the game, you don't ever have to play the campaign again. You can just do side quests forever, and that's really fun, and I highly recommend it. You will like the fact that there are mounts. You can go real fast around the world, get stuff done quicker. You won't like the fact that you can do neither of those things, skip the campaign, or get mounts without playing the campaign, which is fine, but it's very long.
What's this hullabaloo about having to recreate new characters for the upcoming seasons? What's going on with this? Have you heard this?
The idea is that Diablo, since Diablo 3, has kind of run on what's called a seasonal concept, and that's where every few months the game basically takes your characters, shifts them off to their own la-la land, they can play with other non-season characters, and then everybody starts the game over, basically. It's a way to keep the economy balanced, basically.
I see. So...
You know, so like if I find an Uber Megasword, then I've got that forever, and you'll never catch up, which is a problem. But if we're resetting the game every few months, then maybe you have a shot to get an Uber Megasword. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. The way to equality is everybody starts over.
Exactly. And that's, you know, it's a pretty fun thing to do. People love it in Diablo 3. I think they'll love it here. The issue, and it's not really an issue anymore, as we recently were told that it's not really a problem. People thought that you'd have to replay the campaign to get your horse, which takes about 15 hours, I'm not going to lie, or to get the option to skip the campaign, which takes about 30 hours. Blizzard, however, has come out and said that's not how that works, so it's fine.
You know, the last time I chatted with our good friend Ben Crossman over at Computer America, all he talked about was his life was now Diablo 4. That's all he does. He just got married, too.
It's one of those games. There's a lot of these days. It kind of wants to be a lifestyle game where it's the only thing you ever play. And you know me. That can't be me. So,
Well, you know, I was talking to one of our senior editors about this the other day. And I won't – this is not a discussion. But it's just so many games that would have ordinarily otherwise just been a turn game on, play game, finish game, move on with life, are now become lifestyle stuff where everything has stories and cinemas. And I'm sorry. You can't time sync your life into like 10 of those things. It's too much.
On the other hand, and I'm gonna be the devil's advocate here, as I like to, I think it's pretty cool. I think that if I want to come back and play like Monster Hunter Rise, I can do that. And I can do that knowing that there's gonna be a ton more content waiting for me. You know, back in the day, if I wanted to come back and play whatever game, I get whatever I get, and that's all the content it's ever gonna have. So, and I think people who complain about games being lifestyle games, they're constantly updated and adding more stuff. The lady maybe does protest a bit too much.
I think
there,
though, it depends on the content. Like, you and I have both differ on this, but we both
that's true.
Like, your complaint about Final Fantasy 16, besides the performance, is exactly my complaint about the Assassin's Creed games.
Yeah, that's funny. I never said that about the Assassin's Creed games. I thought those side quests and the activities were fun because, in my brain, the Assassin's Creed games have a baseline level of fun gameplay, so I want to do more of what I was already doing. Final Fantasy 16 doesn't really have that, and it struggles a lot for it.
Well, I will say this. I think Ubisoft heard the cries of peons like me, and that's why they're basically rebooting the franchise again.
So with the Assassin's Creed Mirage coming up later this year.
Exactly. A lot more streamlined, a lot less, you know, breadcrumbs and litter deliveries and marriage-saving side quests. But anyway, Diablo 4, look, we just mentioned three giant games that have all come out within 4 weeks of each other that have all been stellarly reviewed, have all sold millions. Like, that's...
So what you're saying is we don't want to hear any more about how the industry is dying.
I'll say this. That's pretty unprecedented. Like, 2023 is turning out to be a major year. Like, just
you got those three big ones that'll last you for dozens of hours, and you got Tears of the Kingdom right behind that, and you can also play Redfall if you hate yourself.
Exactly. Like, there's all, and we're only halfway through. So I'll tell you what. Let's get going. Let's talk about the lessers. But
yeah, we got a few things that are a little bit smaller. So interestingly, today and yesterday, we saw a couple of very specific genre games released. That's a little bit strange. Back in the day, Ghost Trick, Phantom Detective for the DS was a thing. You remember that game?
I do.
Yeah, it's very similar to like Phoenix Wright. You play as a detective who was killed, and his ghost has the power to go around places and like kind of shift objects, like in a very minor way. And you have to do this sort of Rube Goldberg approach to save people's lives, discover clues, and things like that. And that game was great. And that game is now on Steam. And I think it's also on the modern consoles, too. And it's been upgraded. The graphics look beautiful. The animations on this game are out of control. Like, some of the best you'll maybe ever see in a game. So it's worth looking at if you haven't. It's really well written. It's a lot of fun. If you like puzzles, that's good. Phoenix Wright fans, check it out. And then at the same time, practically, I would say within a couple hours, the new game from the people who made Danganronpa, which is called Master Detective Archives Raincode, that came out too, and it's a very similar concept. You're a detective, you solve cases. In this case, the idea is that you're part of a group of detectives, and each of them has like a detective superpower. Like, one girl can hear things, so she's able to listen in on conversations and locate people via their heartbeats. And one guy is able to... implant his memories onto his cell phone to like use as evidence, stuff like that. It's the Danganronpa experience. I don't want to spoil anything, but it's very grim. You look at the art and you'll think, oh, this is a cutesy game. It's not. It's very dark, very grim. A lot of fun based on what I played so far, so take a look. If you like detective games, you're in good shape. Alfonso Deegan, the greatest detective of all, hasn't shown up in any of these games yet, but maybe one day.
Objection. So we'll figure it out. No, there'll be more. So, okay, there we go. So what's next on the list?
Aliens Dark Descent came out, and I want to say, well, you know, I can't really say anymore. I was going to say it's great to see some Aliens games that are good after Colonial Marines, but that was a long time ago, and there's been a lot of good Aliens games since Colonial Marines.
Well, this one goes back to top-down, right? This is not a first-person shooter?
So this is something akin to, I guess I compare it a little bit to like Baldur's Gate. It's a real time with Paul sort of strategy game.
You know what's funny? I feel bad for Aliens a little bit because you have a movie franchise and you have a gaming franchise that have always sort of coexisted, and they're not all great, but the good ones are good.
That's some hard hitting commentary. They're not all great, but the good ones are good. That's true. You're absolutely right. This one is fine based on what I played of it. It is, if you got burned by Colonial Marines way back in the day, you owe it to yourself to go back and maybe check out Aliens again. Check out Isolation was good. What was it called? Fireteam, I think, was the other one, the recent shooter one.
Is that the co-op one?
Aliens. Fireteam Elite was the co-op one, and that one was pretty all right based on what it was. They're not all bad. Oh, and go back a little bit further and check out Alien versus Predator. You'll really like that one.
Well, that's which one though? There's the Jaguar one, the one on Jaguar, the one. No, but look, I know my commentary wasn't exactly enthusiastic, but it's just sort of there's so much goodwill for Aliens and even Predator that we are willing to stomach really atrocious, heinous, bad movies and games because we know eventually someone will get it right.
Yeah, Prometheus, by the way, really good film, worth looking at if you haven't seen it yet.
Did you see Prey? By the way, the new one. It's technically Predator, but you know, sister.
Yeah, no, you're franchises. Right. No, they're sister franchise, so it doesn't make sense. No, I haven't seen it yet, but I probably should. I do like Aliens a lot. There's some smaller stuff too. Mm-hmm. The latest Story of Seasons game is a remake of A Wonderful Life, which is a lot of people's favorite entry in the series. Back when it was released in the GameCube, way back when. We have Sonic Origins Plus, which is I'm not super familiar with a Sonic Origins Plus, Nate.
You remember, look, we won't get into it. Sonic Origins was the very controversial version of the remasters, the remakes that came out where people talked about it. It's all the goodwill from Sonic Mania was sort of lost in the Origins. And that's about it. It's an expanded version of that.
Oh, yeah. It says here it's an expanded version, comes with a bunch of cool games. A lot of games you maybe already have. You can play as Amy, which is cool if you're into that kind of thing. You can play as Knuckles in Sonic CD. That's neat. And you can also buy the stuff for DLC if you already have Sonic Origins. So go ahead and do that if you are a Sonic fan. Pikmin 1 and 2 are coming to Switch. They're remastered.
I took a peek at it. So I think they offer a bundle for like $50. But it's...
That's not too bad.
Well, we talked about this before, and it's not really a conversation piece, but... I think you're going to see a lot more GameCube stuff hitting the Switch as it twilights out. And I do think it is twilighting out, which we can get into later.
Yeah, we will definitely see. And finally, the Asus ROG, or ROG, as I've heard people calling it, the Ally, which is a very similar device to the Steam Deck, but it runs Windows. It is actually the first mainstream Windows gaming handheld. Not the first gaming handheld that runs Windows. That would be the Aya Neo way back in the day. But this is the first one where you can just go and buy one at Best Buy if you want. It's like $700.
Yeah, it's the first one you don't really require like Alibaba or something.
Yeah, you don't have to go through China. You don't have to put in a pre-order years in advance. Nah, if you want one of these, go to Best Buy and get it right now. I have been playing with one. We have a review coming soon. I will tell you, it's got its ups and it's got its downs. The use case for this, if you were thinking about getting one, is not that you're going to take it with you on public transport or on long trips where you don't have access to a power cable. The use case for this is I want a handheld device I can play while I lay around in bed or while somebody else is using the TV and I can have it hooked up to something. And if that's the case, you're in great shape with this thing. It's wonderful. And if it's not, you might be disappointed.
There is one thing I want to say about it. I haven't experienced it myself, but you mentioned Windows, which is important. Yeah. Steam Deck uses, of course,
Steam Deck runs a SteamOS, which is a version of Linux. And the big important part about this is I'm just going to steal your topic from you. Yeah. I think if you're about to say it, is because it runs Windows, the compatibility is basically flawless compared to the Steam Deck. You will have a much better time running many more games.
The downside to that is Windows, which means Windows doesn't always play nice with certain screen factors. And so I think that's an issue that you're starting to see with some of these Windows devices, which I think...
That is definitely a common complaint about the Ally, yeah. I've definitely seen a lot of people saying they don't like having to battle with Windows on this tiny touchscreen handheld with no keyboard. And I can see where they're coming from, but if you're familiar with Windows and you've used it a lot, you can definitely, like... You can make your way through.
Yeah,
it's not ideal. Ideal is the SteamOS thing, but it's all right.
I will say this. I think what the ROG represents, I think it's the... We're seeing a new Windows design. We have laptops, we have portables, we have tablets, and now we're going to have dedicated gaming Windows devices. And I think that's something that's going to be the legacy of the Switch and the Steam Deck. It's here to stay. Eventually
more is
they'll
better
nail
for
it.
Sure.
Yeah, exactly. So
absolutely. So hey, we also have these numbers from Circana, and Circana used to be called the NPD, and we tend to go over them and read a little bit about them. We got a pal named Matt Piscatella.
Good old Matt. Yeah, by the way,
he kind of runs the circuit.
Friend of Pop Zara, been on this very show before, multiple times.
Absolutely.
So,
and when we talk about Circana, we mostly talk a little bit about overall sales, which have gone up. Mm-hmm. We've talked about overall spending, which has gone way the heck up. We talk about physical hardware sales. Oh man, I got to stop eating cotton while I talk about these things. Which have gone up, and why have they gone up? Because big games have been released, and you can guess which one has pushed the most hardware sales.
Yeah, it's the resurrection of the PlayStation 5 continues. We'll just say that this is a standard now. This is what's going to happen. It had a late start. We will get into this later. There's reasons why it's the PlayStation over everything else, but for now, I think if you have a PS5, you're probably happy with it, and if you don't have one, you can get one. You can walk into a Walmart.
Yeah, you can actually go and buy
right
one
now.
Right now. Who would have thought?
Safely
right?
too. So,
all
right.
Back of a police station like I did. Anyway, let's talk about these games. You got 20 of them.
Yeah, so what we do is we talk about the top 20 best-selling games according to Circana. Again, these numbers are for entertainment purposes only, but...
Yeah, don't take these seriously. They're reported by the publishers. The publishers could lie. Who knows?
So let's start with number 20. What is it?
Yep. Number 20 is Super Mario 3D World, which that's not surprising. Everybody's playing a lot of Nintendo now, and we'll talk about why in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
19 is Lego Star Wars, the Skywalker Saga. That, of course, makes sense, too. Star Wars is big. Pokemon is big. That's 18. New Super Mario is more Mario. 16 is God of War Ragnarok. That is a fantastic game. If you have a PS5, and a lot of people are getting those, too, and I can't imagine why. We'll talk about that in a minute as well. Number 15 is Madden NFL 23. Number 14 is Smash Ultimate. That is a must-have for the Switch. 13 is The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. Another must-have for the Switch. Wonder why that's on here. Number 12 is Minecraft. Number 11 is Elden Ring, which has DLC coming soon. Please look forward to that, jumping up a few ranks when that comes out. Number 10 is Far Cry 6. Sorry about that. I'm breathing like a filthy mouth breather. Number 9 is Resident Evil 4. We're talking about the remake there. It's a very good remake. It does just enough to spice things up, but that game was good to begin with, so it doesn't change what doesn't need to be changed. Number 8 is Mario Kart 8. We're talking about the deluxe edition. Everybody loves that game. It never leaves this list. It's been on here for actual years. Number 7 is FIFA 23. Number 6 is MLB The Show 23. Number 5 is Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, and that's gone up probably because they're shutting down the original version of the Warzone Battle Royale mode. So if you want to keep playing, you got to buy a new Call of Duty, and this is probably why it's shot up. Number 4 is Dead Island 2. I didn't really expect this to still be on the list. It's a good game. I like it a lot. But I thought it would just fall off and die, like Dead Island. But no, it didn't.
like most zombie games, they have a very short life.
Yeah, no, this one's sticking around. Number 3 is Star Wars Jedi Survivor. It's interesting to see this here because if you have a decent gaming PC and EA Play, you don't really have to buy this.
Also,
and that doesn't count on Circana.
Also, there's a little thing, a little caveat. I don't know if this is included or not. All AMD cards now include this game with it, by the way. So if you have an...
Okay, that would probably help. I don't know. Maybe you can say.
Well, I think it's also Resident Evil 4 is in. It's one of an option. I think AMD just launched their 7600. I think their model, and yeah, it's you know how it goes.
NVIDIA meanwhile released the 4060 today. I believe it's not very good. You probably shouldn't get one. Number 2 is Hogwarts Legacy, and that Harry Potter is just unstoppable, no matter who tries and how hard. Number 1 is, of course, not surprising anybody, The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, which has driven hardware sales. It has destroyed the game charts. Everybody loves this game. They love it for good reason. If you haven't played it yet, you owe it to yourself. If you have to go buy a Switch to play this game, I think it's a pretty good deal. You probably should.
Yeah, it's funny, though. It's going to be we're going to be talking about this very, very briefly coming up. We talked about sunsetting, and I think we're in the middle of a sunsetting of a console, and I think we all know which one that's going to be.
Yep.
But there might be sunsetting two. So
there very well could be. Let's talk about why that could be, and that would be because, first off, Xbox versus the FTC. Now, if you use the Xbox app on your PC, and I do, and you probably do if you have Game Pass, you may have seen a message pop up in your friends list saying, "Oh, we are doing better to protect children." And I'm like, first off, you're a computer company. I don't need you protecting any children. Second off, They're doing it because the FTC kicked their butts for stealing kids' data.
Well, that's just one of many, many, many things. So basically, long story short, this story has monopolized the tech world for the last at least two solid weeks, maybe even last year. It's FTC is going up with Microsoft primarily because they're opposing the merger. They're opposing the acquisition.
There is also that.
Yeah. And so when basically what we talked about was the revelations that have come from this, because normally you and I, Corey, whatever, we have to speculate. But now there are actual revelations. There's comments. There's data points. There's competitor flukes. There's everything. And so have you paid attention to any of this stuff? Anything caught your eye?
Not even a little. Microsoft is not paying me. I don't care what happens to their company.
Well, you and I have discussed this ad nauseum for over a year about why certain things are. And it comes down to this. You know what? You've seen the movie The Producers, right?
Yep.
Okay, you've seen the play, whatever. You're a Mel Brooks fan, of course. So the concept of that is that these shysters discover they can make more money by creating a disastrous play than they can a good one. Hitler on Ice. So, but
the interesting point here, you actually mentioned it a tiny bit right below, is it's entirely possible there may one day just not be any Xbox in
it seems that might be the plan, actually.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's intended. It's a feature, not a bug, and that's because a lot of what Microsoft does now just shows up on PC. And what is a PC these days? Or rather, what is a console but a stripped-down PC?
Well, some of the evidence came out that Microsoft actually prioritized cloud gaming over hardware sales.
Yep, that is entirely true. You can play it on your phone, and they get a subscription for it. You can also buy games that run on cloud. Yeah, it's just a better business model for them, most likely, so far as I know.
Well, sense. You know, Microsoft also has partnered with their once competitor, NVIDIA, GeForce Now? So, and of course, you can buy Microsoft games on Steam. Like they seem to be, I mentioned sunsetting, but I was talking about Nintendo. But it just seems like all the activity is getting away from hardware and going into software for Microsoft.
All right, just to knock that out real quick, as far as sunsetting goes, there's increasing indications. Well, I mean, there's always indications, but more credible indications that we may be seeing the end of the Switch and the release of a new Switch called the NG, is I think the code name at the moment.
That was also some revelations that came out of the Microsoft trial.
Yeah, indications are that the NG is going to be about on par with the PS4 or the Xbox One.
Which is still an improvement.
That's a drastic improvement over the Switch, which is about on par with an iPad.
Yeah, there's been, and again, we saw the other big thing was we talked about Nintendo Direct, which had a very sizable, surprisingly chunky show.
It did. Let's just knock those out real quick because there's a lot of them and we don't have a whole lot of time. So cool things, all of them. Super Mario Brothers Wonder, which is a new 2D Mario in the same style as like new Super Mario. It is crazy. And Mario can turn into an elephant and you can play as Princess Daisy. How about that? Another thing, they are remaking Mario RPG. I don't think anybody saw that crap coming. Did you?
I heard rumors that they were remaking GameCube stuff, which turned out to be half true, by the way.
That is half true. But Mario RPG, nobody saw that coming, and it looks fantastic, and I think I'm probably going to play it. Detective Pikachu 2, I didn't play the first game. I did watch the movie, and I really liked it, so
I sent you a Pikachu, I think, in the mail.
You did? I still have it. It was a fantastic film, and if the game is even close to as good, I will definitely make sure to play it. Metal Gear Solid Collection Volume 1 announced for Switch. That's cool and all. Metal Gear Solid and MGS2, MGS3, also the MSX games, the NES games, and that's cool and all. That's not the really cool part about this. The cool part is that if there's a Volume 1, there's inevitably going to be a Volume 2, and the big rumor there, which I've seen has some credibility to
it. It's 4, isn't it?
Yes, that you will finally be able to play Metal Gear Solid 4 outside of the PlayStation 3, which that's an increasingly difficult prospect these days. You got to find a PS3 that works. You got to find a copy of the game. The game runs almost entirely off the PS3's hard drive, so that could be broken. Just a lot of issues, and it's good to see that maybe, just maybe, it might be showing up on more reliable platforms, newer platforms. Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdoms gets amiibos coming soon. WarioWare, move it. WarioWare is always pretty good. Pikmin 4 is coming out. There's expansions for all kinds of crap. It was a great Nintendo Direct. I'm mostly excited about the new Mario stuff. I didn't see that coming at all.
Well, again, when you look at a console, you don't necessarily look at what it's doing. You look at what it's not doing. And I think we all know that the Switch has been, you know, rumored for a successor for a long time. And
we've definitely seen more reliable indications that successor is coming sooner than later.
I will say this. Here's my prediction. We move on. I believe the transition will be nice and smooth. I think Nintendo's actually commented about this. they move to Nintendo accounts as opposed to you know, something bound to the console itself. Yep. My question to you is, I was talking to some friends. We have some names that we think the console might be called, and I want to get on. I want to get something on the record.
I'm gonna say it's gonna be called the Super Switch.
Ah, that's one of the two. Yeah, we thought. Yep. Will they pull a NES Super? You know,
I think I would. If I were them, I would call it the Super Switch.
Like, don't take a lot of chances.
Yeah, don't do a Wii U. Just make call. Yep. Yeah, and you know, oh, cool. Mm-hmm. It's like when I got the Super Nintendo when I was a kid. Of course, this is great.
Exactly. Or how about the more boring but possible name?
The Switch 2.
Switch Plus.
The Switch Plus is good too. I like mm-hmm. that also. Either of those would be good. The Switch Plus and the Super Switch Plus. But, let's get them both.
So, but here's my prediction. My prediction is they're going to restore a capability they took out of the Switch from the Wii U.
What's that?
You'll be able to play the Switch Plus, Super Switch, whatever the hell they call it, both remotely and on your TV. That it will beam to your TV, therefore restoring the dual screen functionality lost in the DS.
Oh, you're saying you don't have to dock anymore. You can play it on your TV while it's handheld.
Yeah, it's just an evolution of the hardware.
That was a cool feature of mm-hmm. the Wii U. Yep. So, yeah, that would be nice to see. But because we're getting low on time, let's go ahead and knock these other two out. BlizzCon is finally back, and that's cool.
It's a little different, though. A little different.
Yeah. You can live stream it. That is also cool. It's more expensive, and I guess that's less cool.
Well, I'll say this. Full disclosure, Blizzard, Activision, whatever, they're very big supporters of PopStar. They've always given us press badges for the online show. The show has not really happened since 2019.
Yeah.
Now they're letting everybody watch it for free, press or not, which is fine. But the price has gone up extraordinarily for on-hand tickets. So we'll have to see.
Yep. And finally, everybody likes Spider-Man. Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse makes a lot of money, and because it's doing so well, people are also buying the Spider-Man video games. And if you haven't played Marvel Spider-Man or Marvel Spider-Man Miles Morales, you probably should. They're pretty good.
Okay, this one was a cheat. The only reason I put this in here, first of all, have you seen Spider-Verse yet, the new one?
No.
Very good. Very fun.
I pride myself on only ever having seen one Marvel Cinematic Universe movie, and it was the first Guardians of the Galaxy.
I will say this. Technically, it's part of the MCU, but it's a Sony film, so it's a little different. So when they finally go to, no spoilers, this movie's making bank. Number two movie at the box office after Mario, by the way. So they go to the multiverse, they go into their little thing, and Spider-Man and Miles Morales, they meet the video game equivalents, and it's literally the pixels from the Atari 26. It's literally the pixels from the Atari 2600 game. And yeah, the Sony PlayStation 4 or 5 Spider-Man show up too. They all show up. Yeah. There's a T-Rex.
Good movies. I've heard they're fantastic. Heard nothing but the best about them. I've heard basically every Spider-Man thing that's come out for a while now has just been rock solid. Meanwhile, if you're a fan of The Flash, maybe you just stay inside for a while.
You know what's funny? The Flash is not a terrible movie. I saw it.
I'm sorry.
The effects are atrocious, right? But there's, to say the least.
I see.
Final Fantasy 16 runs better than The Flash.
That is terrifying. But hey, speaking of running, we might have to. I think we're out of time.
Yeah, I think we're out of time. But I'll say this. It's been a really chock full month. No surprises about anybody here. A lot of good stuff coming out. A lot of good reviews coming out. You know what we didn't talk about this month? Blissfully? E3.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah, I left that off.
I don't know that I would miss what it likely would have become by now. Let's go with that.
You know what's funny, though? Final thoughts on this. There was that little story that came out, which we didn't talk about, which we will not talk about. But they preemptively canceled E3 again, and then E3 had to come out and say it wasn't, but they don't have a venue. It's canceled, boys and girls. It's not happening.
Yeah, it's done for. Yeah, anyway. So.
And with that, I think want to thank everybody for listening, as always, on this nice new abbreviated version of this State of Gaming podcast for June 2023. Corey, once again, thank you for all of your colorful commentary.
Appreciate it. Make magic happen.
Yeah, the magic happens. Magic's free, by the way. You don't have to pay for this stuff. But if you do like it, you know what to do. Share it. We need that sharing. Anyway, we will see everybody on the next level. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Pop Zara podcast. Remember to like, follow, share, and subscribe on your favorite podcast app or service.